Congratulations and God's richest blessings to Hope Bible Presbyterian Church on your 33rd anniversary. Quite a different congregation from the very first worship service back in 1986. This is indeed a time to praise and thank the Lord for all His blessings upon your church these past 33 years. It's a time for reflection, a time for thanksgiving, but it is also a time that we should not just look back. It's also a time for us to look forward, and in particular for us to look unto Jesus, especially as we consider the present world situation. And we would encourage you to look unto Jesus for three reasons. First of all, on this anniversary day, look unto Jesus for salvation. As we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find salvation. The Bible says that He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then in 1 John 4:14 we read that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When He hung on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Three words in English, one word in Greek. His work of dying for our sins is now completed. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Therefore, Jesus is the author and completer of our faith. May God help us to trust Him daily and rejoice for the salvation that He gives us. Now, an example of looking unto Jesus for salvation is seen in the life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in particular in his conversion. Spurgeon is frequently referred to as the Prince of Preachers, the pastor who married my wife and me more than 50 years ago now, used to call Spurgeon my favorite Baptist. It was a Bible Presbyterian church that we got married in, but the pastor referred to his favorite Baptist quite regularly, Spurgeon. Spurgeon has written about his own conversion, and I'd like to refer to that conversion. Spurgeon writes, "I sometimes think I might have been in darkness and despair until now, had it not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm." You know, we'd probably complain if we had a snowstorm. But Spurgeon rejoiced that God sent a snowstorm one Sunday morning while he was going to a certain place of worship. Spurgeon says, "When I could go no further, I turned down a side street and came to a little primitive Methodist chapel. Now, in case you're wondering about that, it's the name of the denomination, Primitive Methodist Church. And Spurgeon says that in that chapel there may have been a dozen or 15 people, certainly not a large church. He said, I have heard of the Primitive Methodists, how they sang so loudly that they made people's heads ache. But that did not matter to me. I wanted to know how I might be saved. And if they could tell me that, I did not care how much they made my head ache. The minister did not come that morning. Spurgeon says, I suppose he was snowed up. At last, a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or a tailor or something of that sort, led up into the pulpit to preach. Now, it is well that preachers should be instructed. That's why we have Bible colleges. That's why we originally came to Australia to start a Bible college. And we still have a need for a Bible college today because we need to instruct a new generation of preachers. So Spurgeon says, well, that preachers should be instructed. But this man was really stupid. That's Spurgeon's word, not mine. He was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. The text was from Isaiah 45, verse 22, first part of the verse, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now Spurgeon comments, he did not even pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. There was, I thought, a glimpse of hope for me in that text. The preacher began thus, my dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, look. Now looking don't take a deal of pains. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It is just look. Well, a man needn't go to college to learn to look. You may be the biggest fool, and yet you can look. A man needn't be worth $1,000 a year. Now, Spurgeon, of course, that would be £1,000. And back in Spurgeon's day in the 19th century, £1,000 a year was a very large income. Today, you probably couldn't survive on that, but in Spurgeon's day, was a very large sum of money. So Spurgeon says a man needn't be worth $1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. But then the text says, look unto me. Hey, said he, in broad Essex, the dialect in which the speaker was speaking. Many on ye are looking to yourselves. But it's no use looking there. You'll never find any comfort in yourselves. Some look to God the Father. No. Look to Him by and by. Jesus Christ says, look unto me. Some of you say, we must wait for the Spirit's working. You have no business with that just now. Look to Christ. The text says, look unto me. Then the good man followed up his text in this way. Look unto me. I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I am dead and buried. Look unto me. I rise again. Look unto me. I ascend to heaven. Look unto me. I am sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, poor sinner, look unto me. Look unto me. And Spurgeon says, when he had gone to about that length, and managed to spin out 10 minutes or so, he was at the end of his tether. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. Just fixing his eyes on me, as if he knew all my heart, he said, "Young man, you look very miserable." "Well, I did," says Spurgeon. "But I had not been accustomed to having remarks made from the pulpit on my personal experience. I don't know about you, but certainly back then," Spurgeon says, "people didn't comment on my appearance." "Well," says Spurgeon, "it was a good blow, struck right home." And he continued, "And you always will be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death, if you don't obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved." Then, lifting up his hands, he shouted as only a primitive Methodist could do, "Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but to look and live." "I saw at once the way of salvation," says Spurgeon. "I know not what else," he said. "I did not take much notice of it. I was so possessed with that one thought, like as when the brazen serpent was lifted up, the people only looked and were healed. So it was with me. I had been waiting to do 50 things. But when I heard that word look, what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. There and then the cloud was gone. The darkness had rolled away. And that moment, I saw the sun. And I could have arisen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which looks alone to Him." "Oh, that somebody had told me this before. Trust Christ and you shall be saved." "Yet," says Spurgeon, "it was no doubt all wisely ordered. And now I can say, ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme. And shall be till I die." And that's the end of Spurgeon's account of his conversion. But I want to ask you, my dear friends, are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Is He truly your Savior? If not, confess your sins to Him. Remember, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then repent of your sins. Tell God that you're sorry for your sins. Ask the Lord to save you. And if you do that, He will save you. Looking unto Jesus. And the first thing we should do is to look unto Jesus for salvation. But then there's a second reason as well that we should look unto Jesus. And that is we should look unto Jesus for daily help. Help day by day. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Let me repeat that, huh? Without me, says Jesus, ye can do nothing. And then, if you look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 34, King David says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So the psalmist recognized the difficulties of life, and he looked to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. There's a French man by the name of Theodore Monod. He was born in 1802. He died in 1856. And he wrote a little booklet entitled Looking Unto, you guessed it, Looking Unto Jesus. And in this booklet he says, looking unto Jesus is the whole secret of life. Notice that. Looking unto Jesus is the whole secret of life. Looking unto Jesus and at nothing else. As the text, Hebrews 12:2, expresses it in one untranslatable word. And the Greek word here, that he refers to, is aphorontes. And that word, at the same time, directs us to fix our gaze upon him and to turn it away from everything else. And I think you can see that. If I'm looking at the piano, I'm fixing my eyes on that. And while I'm looking at the piano, I don't see anything over here. But if I fix my eyes here on this side, I can't see the piano. So Monod says, looking unto Jesus. And that word indicates that. We fix our eyes, we fix our gaze upon him, and we turn away from everything else. This actually reminds me of something that happens in the United States back in the late 1930s in Collingswood, New Jersey. The congregation of the Collingwood Presbyterian Church decided to leave the Presbyterian denomination because of liberalism or unbelief in the Presbyterian Church in the U.S. back in those days. Now, this matter became a court case, and the court decided that the building belonged to the denomination, not to the congregation, but to the denomination. And the congregation of more than 1,200 people walked out of the building, and leaving only 75 people who had decided not to leave. So you can see it was a pretty big majority that wanted to leave, 1,200 to 75. One of the people that left was a man by the name of George Veitch. And he wrote a song about the experience. And this became the theme song of the new church, the Bible Presbyterian Church of Collingswood. Their pastor was still a young man at that time. He has since gone to be of the Lord, which is understandable from the late 1930s. But his name was Carl McIntyre. And some of you may know that name. But George Veitch wrote a hymn. And in that hymn we read, look away from things that perish. Wood and stone will soon decay. Fix your eyes on things eternal. God and heaven will stand for a. He is able. He is willing. He will guide you all the way. Take your eyes off things that perish. Look to Him and trust and pray. Look to Him, looking unto Jesus day by day. And that's exactly what, by the way, what we read in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me ask you, are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for daily help in all that you do? May God help us to always pray to Him for help in our daily lives. For the students in your studies. If you're working, look to Him daily at work. Look to Him for your service for the Lord, for sanctification in your troubles and trials. As the Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then in Hebrews, in chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only are we to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, but we're also to look unto Him for His help day by day in all that we do. And then there is a third reason why on this anniversary Sunday I want you to look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus for His return. As Paul writes in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a Christian man, and before going to bed at night, he would look out of his bedroom windows. He would look up into the sky. And before closing the curtains, he would say, maybe tonight. And then in the morning, as he woke up, he would open the curtains, looking again up into the sky. And he would say, maybe today. He was looking for that blessed hope. He was looking for the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a student at Bob Jones University back in the 1960s, too many years ago, but I remember meeting one man who was a teacher in the music department. And his name was Frank Garlock. Some of you know that name. He met a girl called Flora Jean. They got married. And he left Bob Jones University to start a music ministry. But he and his wife together wrote a hymn by that title, Maybe Today. Some of you, I know, are familiar with that particular hymn. The words are both a challenge and an encouragement to us. My Lord will come. It may be soon. It could be morning, night, or noon. Till then, I'll watch and work and pray. When he comes, I'll go home there to stay. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come, and I will go home. It may be today. Are you looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? May God help us to serve Him faithfully while we wait for His return. In Hope Church, of course, every year has a camp at Easter. And one year, many years ago now, the theme for the camp was Occupy Till Jesus Comes. This was based on Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Occupy till Jesus comes. Till Jesus comes again. You know, some people today look at Jesus and they see only the baby in the manger. Others see him hanging dead on the cross. Some might notice the empty tomb and the fact that he rose from the dead. But let us see him now as the all-powerful Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. My dear friends, hopefuls, have you looked to Jesus for salvation? If not, please do so right now. Look to Jesus for salvation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Confess your sins to him. Cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. When you come to Him, He will save you. That's a wonderful blessing. That's the hope that we have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you hopefuls should be familiar with those words. Hope Church's theme verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So my first question, are you looking to Him for salvation? My second question, are you looking to Jesus for daily help? Be sure you do. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. We need Him whatever we do, at home, at work, at school, in our troubles, in our service for the Lord. We need His help. And then the third question, are you looking for Jesus' return? Let us all be ready for His coming again. The Lord Jesus said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He will come again. His words are the words of a gentleman, and a gentleman keeps his words. He promised a return. And he will return. Oh, scoffers will say, where is the day of his coming? We've been waiting for 2,000 years now. But God's time is not our time. He will come again. Make sure you're ready by looking to him for salvation. By looking to him day by day for help in all that you do. And then looking forward to his coming again. For in that day, we shall all be together with the Lord forevermore. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Not only on this anniversary Sunday, but on the weeks to come, till Jesus comes again. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that indeed,